Sermon study number R2R number 4. The following message, titled Communion, was given Sunday morning, October 9th, 1960.
The 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I feel led of the Spirit of the Lord to go back to that chapter. We've studied it before, but always God's Word bears repeating. And this is time to come to the Lord's Supper and to remember Him. Now let's look again at the sevenfold pattern that we see here concerning the communion table. Now the purpose of the communion is that it not be changed unto us, because it represents the body of Christ. It needs no change. But the secret is that we might be changed into it. You see the difference? Now Paul said here in verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come." Now what's he talking about? Does everyone that comes and they go through the form of taking communion, are they showing forth the Lord's death? No. You only show forth the Lord's death, beloved, as you let this communion change you into Him. As death takes place in you and you're resurrected in Him. Then you can show forth the Lord's death by your life. And by your attitude. And by your disposition. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Huh? Do you? You want to show forth His death to the world? Then this is a serious time. You know, it's a difficult thing when you do something over and over to keep it from becoming commonplace. It's difficult when you do something over and over to keep it from becoming a habit. But God forbid that we should ever come to the communion table of the Lord as a habit. If it's a habit with you this morning, don't you take it. If it's routine with you, don't you take it. But if you're being stirred by the Spirit of God to draw closer to Jesus, if you're being stirred to show forth His death, if you're being stirred for this bread, which is a symbol of His flesh, this drink, which is a symbol of His blood, to transplant you and to transform you into His likeness and His image, then you're ready to take communion. Now He says that, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now then He gives us seven things here that we're to do so that we will not be guilty of eating and drinking unworthily. Now some of you have this because we have studied it, I think perhaps two different times in the past 2 years. But let's look at it again. He said, "But let a man examine himself." This is not just routine. This is a place and a time to examine yourself. And that word examine, as we've told you before, means to test, to try, to prove, to discipline, to scrutinize. Now, it isn't some people look in the mirror of self-scrutiny all the time. And that's unprofitable because you'll get a distorted vision. You're to look in the Word of God, and God's mirror will reflect Jesus, and it will also show you yourself. If you see self through looking at the mirror of God's Word, that's wonderful. But don't try to turn your own eyes upon your own self constantly. However, when we come to the communion table, this is a time for examining. This is a time for testing. This is a time for proving. This is a time for scrutinizing your life. With what? With the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people that are presumptuous about the blood of Jesus. They think, oh, I'll do what I want to. I'll live what I like I want to do. I'll just do what I want to do. It'll be all right. The blood will cover it. Oh, no, it won't. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sin and forsaketh is the one that has mercy. And, beloved, if you drink this blood presumptuously and you desire to continue in your own way, in your own sin, then you're guilty of eating and drinking unworthily. The second thing he said here, that we're not only to examine, but we're to eat of that bread. And, beloved, to eat means that you chew and you swallow and you digest. Praise God. And I believe if we eat in faith, believing this morning, that we have to digest a new part of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that, huh? Number three, he said, and drink of that cup. When you drink, what do you do? Do you know when you take something into your mouth, if you drink it, or that's why you should even drink slowly. They tell us milk, that you shouldn't gulp it down all at one time. Because in the process of drinking, the saliva glands in your mouth will begin to secrete that juice that is so needful for digestion. And that's why so many people are sick inwardly, because they eat too fast, they drink too fast, and there's not enough saliva that gets into the stomach that helps to carry the food on out and helps to digest the food. So what does he mean? When I drink of this cup, I must let myself. You see what I mean? Be made one. When you take milk into your mouth, what happens? The saliva enters into the milk, and when the milk and the saliva are one, then it is in good shape for digestion. Beloved, as you let the blood of Jesus Christ and the bread of Jesus Christ, the flesh of Jesus Christ, be made one with your heart this morning, only then are you in a position to digest spiritually. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Now then, number four, he said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. When we come to the communion table, what does it mean to discern? It means to feel, to think, to perceive. Don't let it be just a form or routine, beloved, but feel Jesus. Thank Jesus. Discern Jesus. While you're taking of this in the natural, let your heart and your mind ascend up above the natural emblems and let them lay hold in the spiritual and feel and perceive and think and understand of him. You know, every time we come to the communion table, if we're in the Spirit of the Lord, we should behold and perceive a new vision of that precious blood that flowed down upon Calvary's cross. We should taste deeper and higher. That's what you're going to have. There was blood that was all throughout that statue, from the brazen altar up to the head, the Ark of the Covenant. And beloved, as we grow up in God, as you grow up in the natural, there has to be new blood veins developed and increased in your body in order for that new flesh to be fed. And so it is in the spiritual. As we go on with Jesus, we need to perceive of his blood more and more. Like he told his disciples, they said, Lord, one wants to be on the right hand and the other wants to be on the left. This is the position we want. And he said to them, are you able to drink of the same cup that I drink of? And again, when he instituted the Passover Supper, I mean the communion at the Passover Supper, he said, drink ye all of it. Amen. Blood, beloved, it takes blood for consecration. Amen. It takes blood for separation. It takes blood for holiness. Amen. Let's drink deeper of his blood this morning. I'm believing God in my own life this morning. Praise God, because God gave me faith in my heart about something, and I'm going to drink deeper of the blood of Jesus Christ in the spiritual while I remember this in the outward. And in doing that, I'll show forth his death. Praise God. Beloved, when you get victory in your life, you show forth the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number five, he said, and notice, let's read verse 30. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, not discerning, not drinking of the blood that's in this cup. Let's drink the blood. There's some of us that need a touch in our body here this morning. If you believe when you drink of this cup, if you'll drink in the spiritual while you're drinking in the natural, beloved, there'll be life that'll come to your body. I'm believing God. The faith is in my heart this morning. Amen. And he said, but if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And that word judge means to separate thoroughly. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What's he talking about? Beloved, there's a judgment that's going to fall upon you in this life if you don't judge yourself. There's a judgment you're going to meet as a Christian when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to meet the wood, hay, and stubble of the flesh if you don't judge this morning at the communion table. He said, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And number six, in verse 33, he said, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, he said, tarry one for another. So that's the sixth thing that we're to do when we come to the communion table, is to tarry one for another. And that doesn't mean tarrying for the one that you would choose to tarry for, but that means putting yourself in the hands of Jesus and putting yourself at the disposal of the Spirit that God might stand before you, the one that he wants you to tarry for. Let's do that this morning, shall we? When we pray, how many of you will ask the Lord to stand before you a brother or a sister that's in the midst of the congregation this morning? How many of you will do that, huh? That you might bear up one another. Not the one you want to. We might have someone that we would like to bear up. But let's say, Lord, you put the one before me that you want me to pray for this morning. And number seven, he says here, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. Don't bring food to the house of God. He said that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. If we're hungry, let's eat at home. But let's not bring in food into the house of God. And something else. Now, beloved, let's leave our chewing gum outside the door. And it just, you talk about groaning in your spirit, those of you that I was preaching about the demonstrations of the Spirit, if that's one thing that makes me groan in agony down in my soul, when you're trying to get the Word of God into people, and they're sitting there just a-chawing like an old cow. Beloved, I don't think the Word gets very far past. It couldn't, because you can't have your energies and your mind on two things at the same time. God taught me that lesson years ago when I'd go to my study with a piece of chewing gum in my mouth years ago. And I'd be trying to get something in the Word and chewing at the same time. And the Lord took it away. Now let's leave chewing gum out of the house of God. If you've been guilty of coming into the house with chewing gum in your mouth, the house of God, judge that this morning. All right. So these are the seven things that the Lord would have us to do here as we come to the communion table. I think it would just be a good time to bow our heads and examine ourselves for a while here. I feel the Lord wants that this morning. You know, every once in a while, it's just good to have a good cutting service. And there's nobody here but just the family this morning. And so we can just really seek the Lord and make a little confessions here at the Lord's table. before we take communion this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus.
This is the end of sermon study number R2R number 4.